I had some technical difficulties, so I had to run and get a computer. I'd be lost without it, I suppose. So we've been going through the book of Psalms so far this summer, and so far I think we've learned a few things about what the book of Psalms were and how they function in the life of the religious community of the Israelites. And today we're going to take a look at another one, another type, focusing on this Psalm 116. And this is what's called a Thanksgiving Psalm. So, even though we're celebrating the 4th of July, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I hope you're okay with that a little bit, okay? So, don't rush out and eat any turkeys, though, because it's probably not the right time of year for a turkey, all right? I should tell you, though, that while we were on our camping trip on the way there, we saw not a wild turkey, but we saw a peacock. But when its feathers were down, dragging along the ground, it kind of looked like a turkey a little bit. And so we were like, hey, look at the turkey, look at the turkey. And then it popped up its wings, and we were proven wrong. It's not a turkey. So I guess we might be kind of city slickers, if you will. But we saw some beautiful animals on our trip. And we got a lot of sun, if you notice. Some of us, we got a little bit of sun. But these Thanksgiving Psalms in the book of Psalms, there's about 16 of them that are categorized as a Thanksgiving Psalm. And in these Thanksgiving Psalms, as you would suspect, it's a time of giving thanks. Most of these Thanksgiving Psalms are community Thanksgiving Psalms, so songs that they sang together giving thanks. But right here in Psalm 116, you have a special kind of Thanksgiving psalm. And this is what's actually called a Hallel psalm, all right? You might have heard of a Hallel psalm because you've probably said the term Hallelujah before. And this is what this type of psalm is. It's a Hallel psalm. It's a psalm of giving thanks. And this is an individual saying thanks. In fact, Psalms 116 is actually one of six psalms that the Jews sang every year at the Passover meal. In fact, they still do sing these psalms. First, they sing Psalms 113, Psalms 114, and Psalm 115, and then they eat. They have a Thanksgiving feast or a Passover feast. Then they lean back in their chairs, they relax, they talk about the good old days when God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And then they sing Psalm 116, which begins with, I love the Lord. An interesting thing about the psalm is it's the only psalm that actually says, I love the Lord. Now other psalms will say things like, I cry out to the God, or I lean on God, or I search for God, or all these different things. But this is the only one that uses the Hebrew word, I love the Lord. The psalm, it has two parts. In the first half, the psalmist pours out his praise as he tells about the love of God, and he lists the many ways that God has blessed him. And then in the second half, the psalmist tells how he plans to respond to God's blessings. Now, the interesting thing about this psalm is we don't know who the author is. It could be David. In fact, there's good reason to believe it's David, but we don't know for sure. What we do know is that it's a person that God had taken care of through some very challenging times. And this author, as he's reflecting on what God has done for him, he's pouring out his heart in thanksgiving. And I want you to notice the author's reasons for giving thanks. It begins with the words, I love the Lord because, and then it goes on to list some reasons. In the 19th century, there was a young English girl. Her name was Elizabeth Barrett. And she suffered a spinal injury at the age of 15, which left her semi-paralyzed or invalid for many years. But there was a man who she loved very deeply. And eventually she married him. His name was Robert Browning. And her love for him was beautifully expressed in her poem entitled Sonnets from the Portuguese. Now, that title may not sound familiar to you, but I'm willing to bet you've probably heard the poem and will remember it when you hear the opening lines. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And then she goes on to describe the depth of her love for Robert. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. Why do I love the Lord? Let me count the ways. One of the first things the psalmist mentions is that because God hears me, God heard me. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. So what's the author here saying? The author is saying that when I speak, God listens. God hears my voice. God pays attention to what I have to say. And the best way that I can relate to this or describe this is as being a father. Think about if you've ever, who in here is a father with children? Anyone a father with children? Think about when your children were growing up. Mine are growing up right now, and you try very hard all of the time to listen to them, right? To hear their voice. But admittedly, sometimes we get a little distracted, don't we? Well, let's just face it, right? If we're being honest, sometimes we get a little distracted. For the 10th time that day, your child might have ran up to you and said, look at what I drew, look at what I drew, look at what I drew, right? And you want to kind of, you know, maybe you're right in the middle of something very important, like the football game, right? I mean, so important. And the child's running up to you, look what I drew, yeah, okay, yes, that's great, right? So that happens to us sometimes. We get distracted. We let other things become more important. But here's the thing. With God, it's not that way. God is never distracted. God always hears your voice. Giving thanks to God should begin with the understanding that God has heard your voice. God listens to our prayers. So that's the first reason the psalmist says why he loves God. But the second reason is this. Not only did God listen, but God delivered and received the author. It says there in verse 3, the pains of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and God saved me. For you have delivered my soul from death. This is verse 8. My eyes from tears and my feet from falling. Now, as I said earlier, we don't know for sure who wrote this psalm, but it is easy to picture David in his times of trial and suffering, maybe being rescued from the king, from the old king, King Saul, while Saul was trying to hunt him down and kill him. But whoever the author is, this author remembers a time in his past when he had some terrible, painful experience. And in those circumstances, he called out to God. He prayed to God. He did what most of us would do. He cried out for God to save him. And his prayer was answered. He was saved. And so here he gives God the credit. This author firmly believes that God stepped in the middle of whatever the situation was and saved the author. And so the author is very, very thankful. And then the author goes on to say, not only did God listen to me, not only did God save me, but God has also blessed me. Verse 7, return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord, I love this phrase, the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. The idea here is that God has piled gift upon gift upon gift on us. How many of you remember the song, Count Your Blessings? You know that song, Count Your Blessings? Count your blessings, name them one by one, right? That song? It's a fun one. It's kind of nice. It has a great message. And the psalmist here is doing this: count your blessings, reflecting on all the things that God has done. And you and I should probably from time to time do the exact same thing, shouldn't we? Maybe keep a little journal and keep track of the ways that God has blessed you. You'd run out of ink. You'd run out of paper, I think, before you were through. Here's a story. It's kind of a joke. I'm sure it's not true, but I kind of like it, so I'm going to tell it to you. And it's this story about two friends. They bumped into each other one day on the street, and one of them looked terribly sad and upset. You know, looked very downcast, like, you know, life is just terrible, you know, had that look. We've all seen that look before. Maybe we've had that look before. And the one friend who's not so terribly upset asks the other one, "What's going on? What's wrong? You look really down. Is there anything I can do?" And the sad friend said, "I have to tell you, 3 weeks ago, I was given $1,000 from a friend." Okay, all right. That was a pretty nice gift. Well, hang on. 2 weeks ago, I won the lottery. And I got $5,000 2 weeks ago. And the happy friend says, "Well, it sounds to me like you've been pretty blessed so far. That's $6,000 and you didn't have to do anything. That's kind of nice." And the man said, No, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost $75,000 from my great aunt." And the other friend is kind of tallying it up. That's like $81,000 in the last 3 weeks. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry about the loss of your great aunt, but, you know, you kind of take the good with the bad, you know? And his friend's really confused. "Well, why do you look so unhappy? You just got $81,000 in the last 3 weeks. And the friend said, "Well, I got to tell you, this week, nothing. I got nothing." Right? That's the problem sometimes when you receive gift upon gift upon gift, is sometimes you kind of expect it, or it becomes commonplace. Even though it's a gift, we kind of lose sight of that. We take it for granted. It's kind of an entitlement mindset that I think has embedded itself in us a little bit. And the truth is, you and I, we are blessed people. To wake up every single day, that is a gift. That is a gift. But sometimes we become complacent and we forget that we truly are gifted by God. And we don't give thanks to God for those things. We are blessed. I mean, even materially. You know, you might think you're poor, and in maybe some ways you might be, but you know, think about King Solomon, right? King Solomon in his day was the most wealthy man. Had gold all over the place, chariots. But do you know that he couldn't walk across the hall to a bathroom with running water? He couldn't do that. He couldn't hop out if he were sick and get medicine really quick, like that. You and I can. He couldn't walk into his kitchen and say, "I'm a little hungry right now. I think I'll pop something in the microwave and have a meal in 30 seconds. You and I have that. Maybe not all of us, but you know what I mean? We are incredibly blessed, and that's what I'm trying to point out here. Sure, we've got problems. Each of us do. Of course we do. But if you consider the many, many blessings that you have, how can we be anything but grateful and giving thanks? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. So those are why the psalmist, the author, is thankful. But I want you to now see what the psalmist's response is to God and how God has blessed this author. So the psalmist is thankful, but then he goes on to say, how will I return what God has given to me? How can I render or possibly repay God? In fact, in verse 12, it says, "What can I render to the Lord for all of the Lord's benefits towards me? How can I return my thanks? How can I possibly repay God?" Well, this is what the psalmist comes up with. He gives a couple of answers. The first thing is, of course, saying thank you. That's step one, just saying thanks. What shall I render to the Lord for all of these benefits? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, is what he says. The author here simply cannot contain his desire to give thanks. And you and I, we're in the same boat, if we think about it. To thank God for everything to me means give thanks for all things, even the bad. Even the bad. And here's why. Because even in the bad, we understand that God, who loves us, is working in all situations to bring about good. Even in the bad situations. But what if we even just focused on the positive? It would far outweigh, I think, the negative. Forgiveness of sins, warm clothing, food, love of family, health. Blessings are truly bountiful. Blessings surpass everything. So that's the first thing that he does. He says, I'm going to give thanks. The second thing he says is, I'm going to rely fully on God. That kind of sounds funny. God has given me so much, and in response to give thanks, I'm going to rely even more on God. Okay, that's all right. But in a way, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I understand who God is, that God provides. And because of that, I am going to rely fully on God and understand that it's beyond me. God is bigger than me. Giving thanks is more than just saying thanks to God. It also includes dedication. Twice the psalmist says, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Basically, thanksgiving, I'm going to return and give a vow. Not just say something nice to God or occasionally treat him with courtesy and respect. It's more than just setting aside one holiday a year where you give, you know, okay, I'm fine. This last year was great. Let's check mark off all the cool things that God did today. And then let's hurry and get on to the football, right? Or the food, or the parade, or whatever it is. Giving thanks is more than that. It's a daily thing. It's how you live your life every single moment. And I think we as Christians, we should be aware more than anyone else the importance of thanking God through the way we live. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. It's basically taking the time to recognize how much God has given to you, and then giving your life over to God to serve and to be for other people a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so that brings us to our table here today, this communion table that we're going to partake in today. The word for communion that that is traditionally used is the word Eucharist. And that word Eucharist literally means thanksgiving, giving thanks. And so when you come to the table, it's a moment, a time for you to stop, to pause, reflect, recognize what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And then to give thanks for what God has done. To renew your vows like the psalmist here renews his vows. I will renew my vows in front of these people. This is your opportunity. God, this week, here's how I'm going to renew my vows. And then when you're done with the table, to go out and tell and serve. That's the whole point of the table, so that you would come, recognize, reflect on, and be re-energized to go out and serve once again. So that's why we do this. We take this time to say thanks, to give thanks. This is truly a Thanksgiving feast that we partake in. And actually, when the Jewish people did it and the early Christians did it, it truly was a feast. It was a great big meal that they sat down at the table together and gave thanks and went around the table and talked about the things that God was doing in each person's life, the amazing things. And so this week, this month, as we partake in this table, I want you to be thinking about. And I'm not going to make you share out loud with anybody, unless you want to. Maybe today you grab somebody and let them know this is what God's doing. But I want you to think about what God has been doing in your life. And as you come up and partake in this, say thanks. Give a little thanks to God, who's done so much and enriched your lives in so many ways. Deal? You do that with me? All right, let's pray. God, as we do indeed head towards a celebration of Independence Day and wonderful time of being together with others, Lord, let us not forget to stop and give thanks to you, to tell you thank you for the ways you've richly blessed us, how you've forgiven us, how you've heard our prayers like a good father, how you've reached out to us and pulled us from despair. Lord, as we go to the table here in just a little bit, I offer it up to you, and I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time as we gather together to give thanks, and that we would hold first and foremost what you've done for us, so that we may serve you with hearts of thanksgiving. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.